Trouble Reinterpreted. That's the theme of Paul, my friend, in Romans 5, verse 3. And boy, what a theme for our lives. Let's look at this. Colin Cook here and how it happens. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God, the good news about God, through Jesus Christ and all he has done in him for our sake, and how that applies to the struggles and troubles of our lives, so that we take a new look at their meaning and train our faith in a very different way from what we have been doing. All right, this is it, my friend, Romans 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce. Now, this is the chapter, as you know, that I've mentioned to you, about freedom. This is the chapter about freedom from wrath. And Paul is really taking this to its logical conclusion. Think of the Holy Spirit working on Paul and saying, Paul, make it clear to the people of God. Make it clear to our children. Make it clear to those who trust in Jesus that trouble is no longer an expression of God's wrath. Well, were it ever an expression of God's wrath? That's another question we'll look at in a minute. But you see, the modern way of looking at things, in Paul's day as well as our day, his modern day as well as ours, is that when trouble comes upon us, there is a terrible judgment coming upon us. Well, surely one might say that's the message of the Old Testament. God's wrath rises up to destroy and to banish and to abandon people to the powers of their fate. Yes, my friend, we cannot deny that there are clear judgments in the Old Testament. Paul is not denying that God rises in judgment in the Old Testament. When thy judgments are in the earth, then the inhabitants will learn righteousness, the Old Testament says. But what is crucial here is what that form of judgment is all about. When you go to Romans chapter 1 and you see where Paul is going with this message of wrath, you begin to realize that the message of wrath is not about sending people to hell and perdition. It is about positioning them for grace, handing them over to the powers of evil so that they, in their brokenness and bondage, may cry out to God and see the relevance of Jesus. So that the message of God's wrath in Romans 1 is a precursor to the message of his salvation act in Jesus Christ. So that people under God's wrath are being prepared for his salvation. Now, that message Paul then projects upon the Old Testament and helps us to understand that all judgment is not a message of sending people to hell, but bringing them to faith. God's wrath is not sending people to hell for what they have done. Rather, their failure to respond to God's wrath in faith, in the salvation of Jesus, is what can send people to hell. We are looking at unbelief as the real sin of the world, not simply the sins that they do, as abominable they may be. And so we have here a message that gives us all courage. We are to glory in our trouble. Now, modern Christians, well, I've used this word modern too often today. Christians, in our day, will often be tempted to interpret God's love or determine God's love by the amount of trouble they go through. Now, of course, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't brought yourself under faith in Jesus Christ, if you haven't trusted in him as your Savior, then, of course, the trouble that you're going through is hellacious, and troubles that are messages to lead you to come out from under his wrath and to come into faith in Jesus. As a person has faith in Jesus, his mind is free to say, "My troubles are no longer punishments of wrath and sending away to perdition and hell. My troubles are no longer the frowning and disfavor and rejection of God. Because of Christ, I'm received and I'm accepted. So then, what are these troubles meaning now?" Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a different verse from what we looked at yesterday, but with some further insight about what troubles mean now. Listen to Paul here in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians when he says in verse 3, "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God." Now, don't apply this simply to people who are ministers and pastors. We are all servants of God in one way or another and ministers of God. And he says, "In all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God." Now, how do we commend ourselves? How do we recommend ourselves? How do we show ourselves to be the real thing? This is what he says. "In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on right hand and on left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." Have you ever noticed in these verses that Paul is saying this is how we commend ourselves? We don't commend ourselves because we've overcome all sin. We don't commend ourselves because we have nice suits and live in good houses. We don't commend ourselves because we've had one wife all our lives. We don't commend ourselves because we have three children who are all going to a Christian school. We commend ourselves in the patience and endurance we possess in going through troubles and tribulations and distresses and stripes and imprisonments and sleeplessness and fastings and all, and our purity and our knowledge and our long-suffering and all of the rest of it. He says we're the people who commend ourselves even in evil report, when people speak bad of us, in other words, when people think of us as deceivers, but we still remain true, when people think of us as unknown, and we don't go and get another job or another calling just because we're unknown, we accept our being unknown because people know us even in that we are Christians. In the dying process, not simply physical dying, but all the troubles we go through that are like a death, and yet we are still hanging on and we still live. In the fact that we're chastened and go through lots of trouble, but we're not killed. The neighbors look at us and say, "This guy's always bouncing back." the sorrow as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. How is this man still at peace when he has so much sorrow? How is he so generous when he's so poor? How is he seeming to possess everything when he has nothing? That's how we commend ourselves. And so, you see, this is why we go back to God and we say, Father, I'm taking a totally new take on my troubles. I'm going to start thanking you for them. I'm going to start understanding that they are revealing your glory through me. They are revealing your strength through my weakness. They are revealing your death in my life so that your resurrection in my life may take place. I thank you for the troubles of my addiction, my poverty of spirit or flesh, my bank account, my absence of it, my relationships, my health, because through this you are being revealed. Now, as you take a new view of your tribulations and rejoice in them in this way, my friend, your life starts a new journey. I'm dead serious. A new turn and a new journey. It is no longer an expression in your own eyes of God's endless punishment, no longer an expression of his wrath handing you over to perdition or hell. It is an expression of his grace living in you, making you a man of character that has hope and certainty that other people are encouraged by. This view of life will allow some of your goals to die so that some new ones may rise. It will allow you to deal with your disappointments so that this endless grief that you've been carrying is lifted from your shoulders. It will allow you to reinterpret your past and see it not as a tragedy, but the expression of God's life in you. Friend, if this broadcast is training your faith, which I hope it is, that's my goal, not simply inspiring you, but training your faith, if you are finding ways through life by this broadcast, then I wonder if you would consider showing your appreciation to your Heavenly Father for it and sending a donation. Send your donations to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. By sending a donation, you become a partner. You can send a one-time donation if you like, or monthly donations if you like. And in gratitude, I will send you my Cook's Monthly Message, which is a CD on various subjects that will bless and train your heart in faith. However, if you'd rather not receive any literature, simply send your donation and say, no literature, please, and that'll be okay. If you'd like to make your donation by PayPal, you can go to the website Faith Quest Radio. That's our website where you can listen to this radio broadcast anytime, faithquestradio.com, and make your donation that way. If you'd like me to take it off your credit card each month, then you can do that by arranging that with me by calling me at 303-738-8694. Or, as I say, if you want me to take it off your credit card just one time, then call 303-738-8694. I thank you very, very much for your support, my friends. It's crucial to the continuance of this radio broadcast and this ministry. I'll see you next time, then. Cheerio and God bless.